You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Gang's all here, ready to go. A lot of topics to dive into. You can be part of the broadcast. You can dial us up, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning to our TV partners at youtube.com/TheDanPatrickShow. A week from today, we start on Peacock, and I'll let everybody know we're actually going to do a tutorial after the show that we'll put up on the website to let you know how you can go to Peacock on Monday. It's very easy. It's free. I want to make sure that everybody has that opportunity, but we can also expose this show to a wider audience. And that's what we're trying to do. A larger audience going to Peacock. That is next Monday. Say good morning to Chat Row and our great radio affiliates around the country. As we always do every Monday, best and worst of the weekend, your opportunity to dial us up and tell us what you liked, you didn't like from over the weekend. The Lakers worked really hard to get that number one seed in the Western Conference, and their reward was the eighth seed Portland Trailblazers. Now, we look at them as an eighth seed, but they're not. Because had they been healthy, they're probably a 4 or 5 seed, maybe a 6 seed at the worst. But they had injuries. Of course, you know, the season shut down. Then they restart in the bubble. Damian Lillard gets hot. CJ McCollum, who's playing with a broken bone in his back. And they're a great offensive team. They're not a good defensive team. And maybe this is what the Lakers need. They need somebody who doesn't play defense very well because the Lakers' offense has struggled. Vegas thinks so much of the bubble and the play in the bubble, they bumped the Clippers up to the team to beat right now in the NBA for the championship, which is a little bit surprising because nobody's talked about the Mavs being a surprise team to be able to pull off an upset over the Clippers. It's the Lakers. Everybody focuses on the Lakers, even though the Mavs might have a better chance at beating the Clippers than Portland does beating the Lakers. And the reason why I say that is the Clippers are still trying to get, you know, it's a great puzzle, but there's a few pieces that haven't been put together. And I think once they get into the second or third round, then that's when you're going to see how great the Clippers are. Opening round, that's where the Mavs have played hard, maintaining their seed. They got the Clippers. Clippers still trying to bring in all their players. And you might have them giving them a little bit better test than what Portland does with the Lakers. But what we saw with Damian Lillard establishing himself as one of the great scorers in the NBA, he's a great player. It's not just a great scorer. And he's open when he steps over half court. But the supporting cast is dangerous as well. And I think that's what's interesting about Portland. Getting everybody back, can Carmelo contribute? CJ McCollum. Are you able to get that kind of contribution? And I wondered, are we going to see them being energized going into the opening round, or are they going to be dragging? It felt like after the Memphis game, where they won to be able to earn the right to play the Lakers, they look spent. Now, they've had a couple of days of rest, and of course, your body, you know, playoff mind and body takes over. You get excited, and that adrenaline can carry you, but it can only carry you so far. The Blazers, they, you know, were playing for their playoff lives every game. The Lakers didn't seem motivated in these final 8 games, but then why should they? They had the number one seed, and there is really no home court advantage for being the number one seed. The postseason is far different than all the action we've seen so far in the bubble, and maybe we'll see a true Laker team in the bubble. It just feels like there's something going on there with LeBron. He has alluded to this, hinted at this, that there's something else going on off the court, and I'm not sure what it is. If it's a teammate or teammates, it's something personal. Maybe he's trying to send a message here, but it just feels like there's a little bit of unrest there, trepidation, something with LeBron James heading into the competition here. Here's Frank Vogel, the Laker head coach, talking about the opening round series opponent, the Blazers.
Definitely not your typical 8 seed. They played at an elite level. They're in this stretch in the bubble, at least offensively. We've got a ton of respect for Dame and CJ and Nurkic, but really for their whole team and their whole coach. They got a system that's been together for a number of years. They have continuity piece, conference finals last year. So just a ton of respect for what they're bringing to the team.
And Nurkic is really a big key because he's a really good player when he's healthy, and he's still trying to get back into shape here, and you're going to try to do it now in the playoffs. But having him there, Carmelo has, you know, written another chapter here. CJ McCollum with a broken bone in his back, and then you got Damian Lillard. A lot of offense there. And no defense whatsoever. Just what the Lakers need. All right, we'll come up with a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day. I did see this article, and I mentioned this last week. I thought we would see changes with the Pelicans, and Alvin Gentry was fired. I said Sacramento's a mess, but they weren't going to get rid of Luke Walton, their head coach. Vlade Divac got fired. He was their GM. And he had a long interview with the Sacramento Bee where he was talking about decisions that he made. And he made the decision to not take Luka Doncic. They had the second pick in the draft, and he decided that he was not going to take him. He was going to take Marvin Bagley Jr. the third. And the reasons why, he said that he was concerned Luka Doncic did not have a natural position. He was concerned that Doncic couldn't defend the point guard, shooting guard, or small forward position. He worried about Doncic's impact on De'Aaron Fox, whom the Kings had selected previously, the previous year at number 5 overall. And I understand this. What I don't understand is, how many times do coaches and GMs and owners make a mistake where they go, well, I don't know who he can guard. Some of the greatest players in the history of the game can't guard anybody. All I have to do is pull up Steph Curry's draft profile. Who's he guarding? I went, who's guarding him? Steve Nash, who's he guard? Who's guarding him? And then, you know, these players don't have natural positions. That's what I don't understand about Vlade. Because your European players have a well-rounded game where your five can be out on the point and your point guard can be a small forward. You go back to the Blazers. When the Blazers were on the clock and they could have drafted Michael Jordan, they didn't because they had Clyde Drexler. Oops. You overthink this. Well, we already got somebody at that position. Okay, in fairness to the Blazers back then, everybody had their position. You had your two guards, you had your two forwards, and you had your center. Now it's all blended together. It's just all a blur. And then Doncic couldn't defend the point guard, shooting guard, or small forward. Okay. If you think he's that good, it's like Larry Bird couldn't guard anybody. But who was guarding Larry Bird? And now we're comparing Doncic to Larry Bird. And you had a guy who was in the European League playing for a championship. He was 15, 16, 17 years of age. He's playing against grown men in a hostile environment there. If you've ever been to one of those games or even watched one of those games, there's an environment there. And he was the MVP. And he was winning a championship there. Now, when I watched his highlight, full disclosure, I always thought that he was just a little bit quick enough to get by somebody, a little bit strong enough to do something. His release was just barely quick enough to get it off. Like, I just thought he was barely great, if that makes sense. Like, everything was had to be perfect, and he was great. But he is doing the same thing he did in Europe. Same moves, same shot, dribble, pass. The step back, he's improved on that. But, you know, this will stay with Vlade Divac the rest of his life because Luka Doncic could have changed the Sacramento Kings. Now, they might not be a playoff team, but at least you would, and I like De'Aaron Fox, but I would think De'Aaron Fox would figure out how to work with Luka Doncic after maybe playing with him. One season, would that's all it would take, where De'Aaron Fox would go, you know what? I'm probably the second guy here because that guy's really good. But that would have changed the Phoenix Suns. Imagine if you had Luka Doncic there. Now you got something really interesting here. When you hit, it changes your entire franchise. Look at the Kansas City Chiefs. They hit on Patrick Mahomes. Changed him. For the next decade, changed him. And then you look at some of these other teams where the Bears, had they taken Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes, it would have changed the entire franchise. And with the NBA, you only have to put five guys out there. And when you're drafting somebody and it hits, it changes a franchise. And that's why when, I mean, I give Vlade credit that he says, look, that was on me. But when you pass on a generational talent, what did you see in Marvin Bagley other than, hey, maybe coming from a good program like Duke, and he's not going to be in competition with De'Aaron Fox, big guy, you know, he's a good offensive player. And maybe Marvin Bagley turns out to be a respectable talent here, one worthy of the number two overall pick in the draft. But, you know, the Atlanta Hawks traded him too, by the way.
Yeah, don't let them off.
But they got Trae Young. That's the only saving grace with that. Like, yeah, we traded him, but they also got, what, one or two first-round picks and Trae Young. So they got Trae Young, who they wanted, and I think a future first-round draft pick. Maybe it's this year first-round draft pick. But I appreciated Vlade being honest about that. But, man, that's going to stay with you. For as long as Luka Doncic is playing, it's going to stay with you. Yeah, Paul.
I went back and looked at a lot of the draft profiles and draft grades from 2018. Everyone loved Marvin Bagley's offensive game. They said he was so advanced as a youngster in the ACC. But then with the next pick, Luka Doncic, everyone thought that he had more potential to be great. They didn't see it week one. They said when he gets going, he'll be great. You can find a ton of articles that love Luka. The only criticisms of Luka were defensively.
And that drives me crazy. Probably because I never played defense. But just that when we profile somebody, let me tell you the negatives. I want to know if the positives are so positive, I don't care what the negatives are. Patrick Mahomes, and the only reason why I keep bringing this up is, I watched him and I thought, okay, they say this is a system quarterback when you play at Texas Tech. And I went, he's his own system. When I watched him play, I said he's his own system. And then what did I hear? Favre-like, takes too many chances, gunslinger, all those things. Nobody said might have one of the strongest arms in NFL history, might be the most accurate passer. His father was a Major League Baseball player, understands, you know, the responsibility of being professional, mature beyond his year. Like, nothing like that. It was, let me tell you the negatives. And I think what happens when it comes to drafting somebody is the negatives outweigh the positives. Because if I looked at the negative, remember when I tried to tell David Kahn, who was the GM of the Timberwolves, I was like, you should take Steph Curry. And it was basically, stay in your lane, talking hairdo. And I just said, you know, this is a perimeter-based game. And that guy is the best shooter in college basketball. Who knew he was going to be the greatest shooter of all time? But, you know, these guys will look at it and go, eh, not strong enough. Eh, he played at Davidson, didn't have a real strong schedule. You know, he was a two guard, then they made him a point guard. And okay. But you talk yourself out of picks. It's rare when you talk yourself into it. Although I do think the Bears talked themselves into Mitchell Trubisky because whatever they saw as an athlete, you know, maybe there weren't as many negatives with him because we didn't know that much about him. The bigger you are, the more somebody's got to have the negative side of you. That's just the way we work. It's like, hey, they're saying all these nice things. I'm going to come out and say something negative. And, you know, I don't think people had enough time to do that to Mitchell Trubisky, where they're like, and we didn't think they were trading up to get Mitchell Trubisky. That's where you go, hey, fell into our lap. That didn't happen there. Yes, Paulie.
I kind of thought that this college football season would be that for Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, that people who had lauded him when he was unavailable now would chip away at him when he's now available in the draft. And it would be like, Justin Fields is better, Justin Fields, than other quarterbacks because Trevor Lawrence was around too long.
And I think that, yes, and I think that was what that was going to happen, I think, with Trevor Lawrence. And Justin Fields, this might have been his breakout year where people realize he might be better than Trevor Lawrence. He might be ready, NFL ready, or that his traits are going to fit in with the NFL more than Trevor Lawrence. Now, if you don't have any football games for Justin Fields, now all of a sudden that combine is so important for him. And Trevor Lawrence, if he's able to play, you're going to have all eyes on Trevor Lawrence. But you're also, you know, the other quarterback to keep an eye on is the kid at North Dakota State. Because Trey Lance is going to be a top 10 draft pick. He's going to be. Talked to a scout yesterday, and he said, I want to see North Dakota State play this year. And I said, okay, I usually watch them once they get to the postseason where they win. And this kid threw 28 touchdown passes and zero interceptions last year. And he's about 6'4", and he's 220, and North Dakota State asked their quarterbacks to be able to be multidimensional, running and throwing. And he might be perfect, perfect for the NFL from North Dakota State. By the way, this next great podcast that I started, this contest, thank you for all the entries. You guys are doing a great job in submitting your pitch to be the next great podcast. Go to nextgreatpodcast.com. We're going to select 10 semifinalists and give them $1,000 to produce a pilot episode. The ultimate winner is going to get the opportunity to do a podcast for a year, and I'm going to be in business with you. I'm going to be your executive producer helping you along the way. TheNextGreatPodcast.com, and I hope to work with you soon. Get an opportunity, buy Raycon, these wireless earbuds, the way to go. You get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Patrick. That's buyraycon.com/Patrick. We'll come back. McLovin promises a great poll question. Not a good one, but a great poll question when we return. It's coming up on 18 after the hour. Your phone calls are always welcome every Monday, best and worst of the weekend. We're back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Sleep number setting, I bumped it up. Now up to 85. Yep, I'm not joking.
Wait a second, you were like 75.
I was 75, and I said, I'm going to get a little risque over the weekend.
Got to go gradually, 80, then 85, work your pace yourself.
Nope, I went up to 85.
Wild man.
Yep, crazy weekend at my house. Went up to 85. But this Sleep Number bed, the 360 smart bed, it's got an IQ. It's got a sleep IQ. So imagine that. Probably Mensa. My bed is Mensa. But you're going to get an extra 15 minutes of sleep every night just by having that bed and the Sleep IQ technology. It will tell you how you slept the night before, which is pretty amazing. And how many times have you gotten up after a great night's sleep and gone, wow, what happened? Maybe it doesn't happen very often for you, but that probably depends on the bed you're sleeping on. For a limited time, save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. Shop your way at a Sleep Number store, online at sleepnumber.com/Patrick, or by chat. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. All right, McLovin promises a great podcast. Why do I? I'm all over the map here. McLovin promises a great poll question today. And probably a great podcast as well. McLovin, what do you have for me?
Okay, before I get into the poll questions, can you settle a debate Paulie and I are having? Trevor Lawrence, if you're looking at the mock drafts, the number one teams are Jacksonville, Washington, Carolina, Cincinnati, maybe Detroit, Miami in there. Which of those franchises do you want to end up at if you're Trevor Lawrence? Is Jacksonville something to avoid?
This is a topic that Paulie has been warm on. I don't know if he's been hot on, but he's been warm on this, but he is ready on this Monday to unleash a hot take.
If the Jacksonville Jaguars have the number one pick in the NFL draft, Trevor Lawrence will not play there.
So he's going to pull an Eli Manning and John Elway.
I think he will and should.
Okay.
They were two or three plays away from making the Super Bowl about 2.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now they're the worst team in the sport. And they feel like they could be whisked away to another location or another country at any moment.
Another country?
Yeah.
London.
Shad Khan, that's his goal.
Oh, I know. It feels like that.
That's the one you could see next April.
Jacksonville fans get mad at me every time we bring up this topic that has to do with the Jags and I don't say something nice. So, Paulie is the one with this hot take. Trevor Lawrence does. I don't know him. He doesn't strike me as somebody who's going to go, unless he has somebody who is going to represent him and says, you know what, you're going to have career suicide if you go there. You need to go to a bigger market. Yeah, McLovin.
Jacksonville's really close to Atlanta, where he's from. I think this makes sense.
It feels like if they have the number one pick in the draft, that Trevor Lawrence is going to go there. I got it. But I don't know who's going to represent him, and they may say, you don't want to go there. You know, Tom Coughlin's not there. You know, they'll probably, depending on how well they play or don't play, you know, will they have a new coach by then? I don't know. It just, that's not a good feel, that organization right now. That if I'm a free agent, do I want to go there? Yeah. But it feels like, you know, if he's drafted by them, that he would go there.
2 years ago, they were 10-6 and just about to make the Super Bowl. And basically every good player, what they got, Calais Campbell still sticking around?
No.
He's gone, right?
He's
gone.
Two teams away.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing I can remember
Yannick
from their team.
Ngakoue is there, but I think they're trying to trade him. But
if he's good, they're going to trade him.
Yeah.
They could switch the helmets up again.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. You have to definitely change the helmets.
Well, that's the biggest reason out there.
Yeah.
And then we're giving Fields to Carolina. That's nice. Matt Rhule.
Yeah. What, you think Carolina would be the second worst team?
They're in these mock drafts in top five because they lost Kuechly. They lost all those guys.
Like, you want to be in this year's draft, if you can get one of those two quarterbacks, you got a new owner, new coach. You know, you still have McCaffrey. Teddy Bridgewater is your bridge quarterback there. Yeah, McLovin.
Well, you said three quarterbacks now, you know, with Trey Lance in the mix.
I think Lance is going to be one of those. And look, I'm going by an NFL scout who said that he will. People don't know about him because he's at North Dakota State, but people inside the NFL know all about him and has all the qualities that you want. His ability to be able to run the ball, and we know he can pass, didn't throw an interception, led them to a championship, you know, for a program that has a long line of really good quality quarterbacks who've come through there, he might turn out to be better than Carson Wentz. That's what I was told yesterday. Yes, McLovin.
Little bad news, though. McShay has him going to Chicago in his mock draft.
That's the end of his career.
that could end that all right
that's
there.
That's the end of his career. I wouldn't wish it. Paulie wouldn't wish that on him.
No.
Justin Fields has a petition. He wants to play, and I think it got a couple of 100,000 athletes, people who've signed up for this. I think if you're it just hit the Big Ten. I don't think the Pac-12 has reacted the same way, but the Big Ten, certainly Ohio State, they're going, wait a minute. So those other conferences are going to play, and how is that possible? And I think that's where the reality is starting to set in of we're not playing football. And this is a president of the university decision. They're not playing football. Because I saw this, the NCAA's doctor, Brian Hainline, he's going to join us next hour. He was talking about fall sports, and he just said, you know, given the way the testing is, the pathway to play sports is so exceedingly narrow right now, everything would have to line up perfectly. But he said right now, if testing in the United States stays the way it is, there's no way we can go forward with sports. But I want to ask the doc, okay, so all sports can't play, but you have the college football being played in these other conferences. Like, how is that possible? The NHL is playing. NFL is planning to play. NBA's done it. But I don't know. Has he spoken with the doctors in the ACC, SEC, and Big 12? Or the commissioners? Like, if I'm a player in the Big Ten, if I'm Justin Fields, I'm just saying, you know, why didn't we give this a little bit more thought? The presidents are doing this because they know there's liability. But once these students go on campus, that's when it's all going to change. And maybe, you know, some of these conferences survive, but that's where you're going to have the real test by the next couple of weeks. Because they're going to play third week in September. But I just don't know how the doctor for the NCAA, can he say you shouldn't be playing? How much authority does he have? Because it feels like the SEC and ACC and Big 12 are like, yeah, it's nice, doc, but, you know, we're going to take it from here. So he's going to join us, but he says we're not in a place today where we can safely play sports. The return of students could be, quote, the downfall. He'll join us coming up next hour. And he echoes what I've been saying. Students coming back on campus, acting as students, as they will, if schools can't handle the return of the students amid the COVID-19 pandemic, then the doctor says that'll be the downfall of the entire structure. I mean, that's feels like we're right on the ledge here. And I know that this is an I told you so topic. And the last thing I want to say is I told you so. I'd rather be told, no, you were wrong on this. But I've said this from the beginning. I hope I'm wrong. I hope we have college football. I didn't like that the Big 12 or the Pac-12 and the Big 10 kind of, you know, closed up shop quicker than I thought. I don't know how much conversation they had with other commissioners, other presidents here. It just felt like it was, nope, we're not going to do it because of the liability here. And it also depends on what state you're playing in, too. This is state by state as well. And that factored in. But we're going to have the doctor on. Also, we're going to have Army's head coach, Jeff Monken. They're playing. I don't know who they're playing, but they're playing because I'm looking at their schedule. I think they have four games. So I don't know who Army is playing, but we'll talk to their head coach. He'll join us next hour. Do you have their schedule, Paul?
Yeah, they've got eight games versus TBD, and they're favored in all of them.
They got
Rice, they got Air Force, they got Tulane and Navy. They've got two open weeks in September, four open weeks in October. They are open for business.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, that's the thing. You know, how do you fill in that schedule? Because you're not quite sure who's going to be playing football. If you say, hey, let's line up something with SMU, and then all of a sudden SMU's not playing.
Or what if they line up something with Alabama?
Well,
on September 15th.
If you can get Alabama to do that,
yeah.
At Alabama, because Alabama's not going to West Point.
Yeah, they went. Army went to Oklahoma a couple years ago. Navy went to Ohio State.
Yeah, they have to travel.
Yep.
That's the difference. Nobody's coming to them. They got to travel. All right, so what poll question? By the way, we got no response from the Big Ten. We wanted it in Ohio State, Justin Fields. You know, we just wanted to ask about this petition. Like, what do you hope to get? If I'm not surprised that you have a student athlete who says, hey, let's start a petition. I want to play football. Most of the 98% of these players want to play football, it feels like. The coaches want to play. The athletic directors want to play. So I'm not surprised at any of this. That Justin Fields, this isn't headline worthy, in my opinion. It's like, yeah, he wants to play. Now, if he said, I don't want to play and I want to get ready for the draft, that's a headline. This, to me, is not a headline. I think it's predictable. But I don't know what the Big Ten does with this. I don't know what their reaction is going to be. Like, hey, stop being a student athlete here. Hey, shut up. We're not going to play. Yeah, McLevin.
Paulie had a poll question that's interesting. Who should make the ultimate decision? Players, parents, coaches, athletic directors, university presidents, or the governor of the state? Who should decide whether college football players play this fall?
Well, it's the presidents. They're the ones that have the most to lose here. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. I mean, players, they're going to want to play. Their parents, I don't know. Coaches, athletic directors, they want to play. Governor, probably going to want to play. University presidents, they're the ones who are going to have to write checks if somebody gets sick and, God forbid, somebody dies. So the presidents, to me, they should be the ones that are deciding on this. I just don't know if they allowed other opinions in here. I don't know that. I'm trying to find that out. And which school or schools were leading the charge to shut down the season in the Big Ten, in the Pac-12? I'd be curious about that as well. Yeah, Paul.
A lot of people are wondering why Ohio State and Michigan and Rutgers would have similar voting rights for the Big Ten. You got Rutgers, who's been around a minute and a half and has no football credibility or juice, and has the same power to vote as Ohio State.
Yeah, but that's like the Electoral College.
Yeah.
Where you can go, North Dakota, you got two votes, and so does the state of California. Not fair, but that's the reality of that. And Rutgers wasn't going to play football. You know, the travel ban, I mean, everything going on in New Jersey, they weren't playing football. But I don't know if it was one of those, we're either all in or we're all out. Keep in mind what shut down the Mid-American Conference. Northern Illinois, on a Saturday, came in and said, we're not playing. And then everybody else said, well, we're not playing either. That's how it happens. But we'll talk to the doctor. We'll talk to Army's head coach as well about how can you play and who are you going to play? Any concerns there? Other poll questions that we might be pondering, McLevin?
Okay, we want to rank the NBA series. Okay. Now, obviously, I think you could take out the Lakers, Blazers, and Clippers, Mavericks. Because after that, the first round really kind of...
So the Blazers, Lakers is the best opening round series.
That's number one.
Second is Dallas and the Clippers.
Based on the way ESPN is televising it, yeah, those are the two primetime games.
Okay. So the third best matchup...
I'll give you the options.
I already have my pick.
Oh, okay. Do you want me to run through them or you want to just...
I mean, you can, but I'll tell you mine right now is the Rockets and the Thunder.
Yeah, but Oklahoma City...
Chris Paul's playing great. Russell Westbrook Jr. III is hurt.
I know. Doesn't this feel like it's going to be a
Remember, the Rockets,
six games?
The Rockets jettisoned Chris Paul because he was always hurt. And here they're facing Oklahoma City... And they've been sneaky good, and now you're not fully assembled? It seems kind of spicy to me. You know, Chris Paul with a chip on his shoulder? That's a little bit spicy.
I see a lot of flopping and arguing, and Chris Paul's going to do something.
All right. Jazz Nuggets? No. Celtics Sixers? No. Heat Pacers? Is it the Heat Pacers or the Heat in the Bucks?
No, the Bucks play the Magic.
Magic.
That's Jimmy Butler against TJ Warren. That's a hot one.
Yeah, it's all right.
But Warren's a little banged up. He's got plantar fasciitis.
Yeah.
The Pacers don't have Sabonis.
Yeah, that's not a...
But don't you look at the East, and it's like Celtics Sixers should be good, but it's not going to be. And Raptors Nets should be good, but that's not going to be either because, I mean, none of the stars are playing.
Yeah.
It feels like the Nets will win the first one. Like, they'll blow it out, and a bunch of their bench players who we don't know will win the first game.
I don't think there's any matchup in the East right now that I'm really interested in. Not the opening round matchup, but I am, you know, the two LA teams, and then after that I would say the Rockets and the Thunder that I'm curious about that as well. Yeah, McLevin.
The Jazz Nuggets, does it? I mean, that feels like the 1:30 special every day.
Yeah, and you know, there's a March Madness feel to this today because these games, we got four games and one starts at like 1:30 in the afternoon. But I know we're trying to dress up the Nuggets. Man, you got to watch Michael Porter Jr. You got to watch Bol Bol. They got the Joker. All right. They got Jamal Murray. All right. Utah doesn't have Mike Conley Jr. III. His wife just delivered a baby, left the bubble. I don't think that one's too exciting. Anything else, McLevin?
I got coaching vacancies for you in the NBA. Mm. I got a Ja Morant question.
Mm. All right.
And I got a draft question for you.
All right. Let me take a break there. I got a stat of the day that has to do with the Lakers and Blazers. And Ethan, who does our stats for us. You know Ethan.
Oh, Ethan.
Yeah, he's got a stat for you. I'll have that for you when we return. But when we return, we'll also have the play of the day right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Lakers and Blazers reminiscent of 2007 first round. That's when you had the Mavericks, the number one seed. They played the 8th-seeded Warriors, who were led by Baron Davis. That was the first round. Golden State was like this year's Blazers. Great offensively, second in the NBA in scoring. Bad defensively, last in the NBA. Golden State upset Dallas in six games. Baron Davis averaged 20 points a game in that series. So whether we have that or not, statistically, it is reminiscent of 2007. What other polls do you have there, McLevin?
Okay. I don't know if you got to watch a lot of Ja Morant in the annual play-in game. If I give you one player now, last week you asked Zion versus Luka, and I foolishly said Zion. Now I say Luka. Who would you take, Ja Morant or Zion Williamson, if you had a look at them now?
I need to see more of Zion. Now, if this is what Zion's going to be, where we're not sure if he's going to be healthy from week to week or month to month or season to season, I would take Ja Morant. I think Ja Morant is going to fill out and be a Damian Lillard kind of player that he'll, and he might be more athletic than him because we know that he attacks the rim. Will he be as good a shooter as Dame? No. But he looks like he's going to add, he's going to be bigger, stronger. And you have to love that aggressive attitude that he has. And he was playing with a broken bone in his hand, I think, the last four games of the season. But I just don't know about Zion right now. Who's the coach going to be? And what's the roster going to look like? You know, we thought that there was a chance last week that Alvin Gentry would get fired, and he got fired. Now, if the Rockets don't get past Oklahoma City, I'm hearing that Mike D'Antoni probably will be shown the door. Then do you get D'Antoni, who worked with the Pelicans GM, Griffin, before, and maybe that's the coach you bring in. But what kind of coach comes in? You know, I go back to, it was something so small. When I found out that Alvin Gentry was getting fired, I went back to that opening game in the bubble for Zion, and he was on a minutes restriction. Alvin Gentry had no power there. And that told me everything. Like, I look back on that, and I go, he was saying, look, I want him to play, but he's on a minutes restriction here. And then I realized that the coach had no jurisdiction here. At least that was the feeling I had. And first thing I thought of when I saw Gentry fired, and I went, he was telling us that he had no power without telling us he had no power over this situation. And if you're not going to trust the coach, now all of a sudden the GM is telling you what you need to do. The owner is. That's why I thought Alvin Gentry was going to be on thin ice if they didn't make the playoffs. Yeah, Paul.
It's a great point. You didn't give the coach a chance to coach to get into the playoffs, and then you fire him for not making it. One thing I don't understand being outside of this with the Pelicans is Zion Williamson not in shape and not handling things correctly himself, or is he being mismanaged? Because it reminds me a long time ago of Jabba Chamberlain with the Yankees, that they were so concerned about him and overly concerned and didn't let a 19-year-old or 20-year-old play basketball, play baseball. I can't tell if he's not ready and not ready to play and not healthy and not in shape, or he's being mismanaged by the team.
Well, we have been told that this is the best shape of his life going into the bubble. And then he gets there and has to go home because of the family emergency. And then over a span of 2 weeks, now he's in the worst shape of his life. Something doesn't add up there. And maybe the true story, and we reached out to Alvin Gentry, and Alvin's not going to burn any bridges, but, you know, just how much power did you have in those decisions? And I'm going to guess he'll take the high road, but I don't think he had any real power there. Because look, are we going to play him? Do we want to win? Can I play him? How much can I play him? And I still maintain, if you play in 2, 3, 4 minute burst, knowing this from experience, you try to kill everybody. You try to do everything possible because you know you're only going to be in there 3 or 4 minutes. You're diving for loose balls. You're hustling. And that's when you get hurt. If you said to Zion, you're in for five minutes, and then we're not going to play you till the third quarter where you're in for 7, and then we're going to play you in the fourth quarter, the final 6 minutes of the game. That was my strategy from the beginning. I don't want you playing 3 or 4 in the first quarter, 3 or 4 here, 3 or 4 here, 3 or 4 here, and then the game is on the line, and our best player's not on the floor. I don't know how it was handled, who was making that decision, but I think it's pretty obvious Alvin Gentry was frustrated that he couldn't make a decision here with Zion Williamson. Yeah, McClellan.
So my next poll question is, which potential vacancy, these jobs aren't all open yet, would you want if you were, say, Tyronn Lue, New Orleans, okay, Houston, Philadelphia, Brooklyn,
ooh,
Chicago is now open too.
Nah, I don't want Chicago.
Man, those all the top four are pretty good opportunities.
Yeah, Brooklyn makes me nervous because of Kyrie. That's it. If Kyrie wasn't there, I would think that'd be a great job. I just, as great a player as he is, I just don't know if he makes your team better. And you got Durant there, his buddy, and you got these younger players there. I don't know. It feels a little Boston-like, except for the Durant portion of this. Philadelphia, I'm curious because I still think you can have those two guys work together. I wouldn't give up on that. Houston, no. Let's see. If I was going to rank, I'd say, give me Brooklyn.
McLovin just goes, what? What?
You got two MVPs in Houston. That's a flat out no. You would consider it? Yeah, you don't want to coach Russell.
No. God, I don't want to coach that. I like watching it. And if it goes well or goes horribly, I love watching it. No, I don't want that. New Orleans, I go Brooklyn, New Orleans, Philly, Houston, Chicago. And I think Houston, and I said that if I was going for my dark horse when the playoffs or the bubble started, I said Houston would be my pick. But with, you know, Westbrook dinged up a little bit here, and Oklahoma City, this wouldn't be an upset. Four fives usually aren't labeled upsets. It feels like Oklahoma City beating Houston would be an upset or should be labeled an upset. Anything else in there, McLovin?
Okay, this is just to sort of make fun of two teams, but what was the worst miss on a number three pick in the last four drafts? Is this the two ones you look at? Luka Doncic fell below DeAndre Ayton and Marvin Bagley in 18, but in 17, Jason Tatum fell below Markelle Fultz and Lonzo Ball.
Yeah.
Which one was a more egregious miss?
Well, the Doncic situation, because he's going to be, he could be an MVP, multiple MVPs. Embiid was behind Wiggins and Jabari Parker in 2014. But you know what? There was still a question mark with Embiid because as great as he showed at Kansas, he also showed, you know, that he was a little bit fragile physically, and that's what made people nervous. They loved his footwork. They thought, you know, there was an Olajuwon feel to him. But I mean, obviously it's Doncic, but Tatum with Fultz and Ball, and I tried to help you leading up to that draft, McLovin. Remember when I came in that day and I said, hey, I just talked to somebody. They said, Tatum is by far the best player in this draft, and Philly is going to pass on him. They're going to take Markelle Fultz. McLovin goes, oh, no. We'll check in with the Army head coach. Who are they playing this year? Phone call's coming up.